This morning's scripture comes from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 9, verses 11 through 14. And you may follow along in your pew Bible on page 209. Let me read you a very quick preface to this text from the New Interpreter's Bible. The title, the letter to the Hebrews was attached to Hebrews in second century manuscripts, by which time it was also attributed to Paul and the Eastern Church. What we know as Hebrews, however, is not really a letter, certainly not written by Paul, and some have questioned whether it was written to Hebrew Christians. But whether or not that is the case, this is part of our canonized Bible, and it is a very valuable text. Hear now these words. But when Christ came as high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and perfect tent, not made with hands, that is not of his creation, he entered once for all into the holy place, not with the blood of goats and calves, but his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls, with the sprinkling of the ashes of a heifer, sanctifies those who have been defiled, so that their flesh is purified, how much more will the blood of Christ, with through the eternal Spirit, offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to worship the living God? This is the word of God written for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, William. As you look back on this week just passed, my guess is you'll remember that Tuesday was Halloween. Originally, that was All Hallows Eve, followed by All Saints Day. But over the century, this has changed and been secularized into Halloween. But those of us in the church will likely remember November 1st as All Saints Day. As you may also be aware, in many Hispanic cultures, Wednesday was also El Día de los Muertos, the Day of the Dead. And it's not too far from our celebration of All Saints Day. It is more a celebration of the living. Because we don't come together as a Christian community during the week, we celebrate All Saints Sunday today in worship. And it's also equally appropriate that we celebrate Holy Communion today as well. Now, as we consider All Saints Sunday, it's probably appropriate that we think about what we mean by the word saint. Now, so many times, as you've heard speakers and preachers, they often start the message with a dictionary definition. And that seems a bit corny to me, but today I'm going to do that. I looked up the word saint in the online version of the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, and there were five different definitions. The first one: one officially recognized, especially through canonization, as preeminent for holiness. This is the meaning that I understood when I was a kid growing up in the Roman Catholic Church. Saints play an important part of the Roman Catholic Church and in many cultures. The second definition: one of the spirits of the departed in heaven. Three: one of God's chosen and usually Christian people. Number four: one eminent for piety or virtue. Eminent for piety or virtue. And five: an illustrious predecessor, somebody who came before. So I want you to think about those various definitions. Well, after that, in my homework sessions this week of preaching, I looked up in the United Methodist website, the website of the church, I was trying to understand what it means to be celebrating All Saints Day. And this, it said, All Saints Day began as a day to honor Christians who were martyred in the Roman persecutions. Over time, it has been transformed into an opportunity to honor all departed Christians In the United Methodist Church, it is a day of remembrance for the saints, with the New Testament meaning of all Christians of every time and place. In many local churches, All Saints Day serves as the congregation's memorial day, where the names and the lives of departed members and friends who died in the past year are remembered. Well, that UMC website goes on to say that saints are people whose example in this life shows us how to live as faithful disciples. Okay, you're right. I've thrown out a whole lot of different definitions, but I'm hoping that some of these ideas strike you as valid, as perhaps something akin to the way that you think about saints and All Saints Day. Well, when you get right down to it, when you think about it, this whole concept of remembering and venerating saints might strike you as somewhat odd. These might be, for some people, strange ideas for the modern Christians in the 21st century, and yet I would contend that saints are foundational to our faith, and they are part of the future of our denomination. Let me explain. Think about the scripture reading that William read that talks about Jesus Christ and his role as high priest. Now, in this reading, Jesus was both priest and sacrifice. Christ died our death in order to atone for our original sin. He conquered sin and death once for all time and for all people, that we might have eternal salvation. That is the key element of the good news that we try to spread in the church. When you think about Jesus, he is probably the number one saint who fits every single one of our definitions. He's one officially recognized as preeminent in holiness. He's one of the spirits in heaven. He's one of God's chosen. He's the God's chosen. He's one eminent for piety and holiness. He's an illustrious predecessor. He's a Christian who was martyred. And finally, he is a person whose example in our life shows us how to live as faithful disciples. Can you think of anyone, living or dead, who more perfectly matches every human understanding of what it means to be a saint? I think not. I think Jesus is number one. So in my mind, Jesus is the foundation of Christian living, the model from which every other saint and every other Christian can then be measured. And because we know that Jesus is God in human form, we will never be able to even approximate the holiness and piety and selflessness of our Lord. But the point of human saints is that they can be for us real examples of people like you and me following in Jesus' footsteps. People of faith who have sacrificed for other people and for the love of God. People who have given their time, their effort, and their money for ministry. Now that is exactly what John Wesley was talking about when he told the people called Methodists that they should look to tradition. We need to look back at our predecessors in the faith, to the people we have loved and admired and respected, and we should learn from their bold examples. I want to tell you about three people who have been saints for me. The first person is someone who touched my life briefly, but profoundly. She is a woman who has been recognized by the world community as someone who has sacrificed her entire life in order to serve others. And that person is Mother Teresa of Calcutta. In the early 1990s, my dad had accepted an Albright professorship to teach engineering in Kathmandu, Nepal. Well, my sister and I had traveled to Nepal to spend 6 weeks living with my parents, exploring Kathmandu and the fascinating foothills of the Himalaya Mountains. One afternoon during our time in Nepal, the American Embassy had hosted a reception for the American expatriates who were living in Kathmandu, so our family decided to attend. Little did we know that Mother Teresa was also in town and that she had also been invited to this same reception. Well, once we got there, I remember standing in a line in a garden behind the embassy and finally shuffling my way to the front of that line up to a table in front of which stood a tiny woman in a white and blue nun's habit. There before me, right next to me, stood Mother Teresa. She offered me her hand and gently spoke a kind and warm greeting. And as our hands met, I felt as though I was touching the hand of someone who spoke directly to God, someone who was sacred and pious, someone who lived a life that was so very similar to the life of Jesus Christ. That brief encounter moved me in ways that I am only now beginning to understand. She died in 1997 at the age of 87 years, and as you may well know, the Roman Catholic Church is in the process of canonizing Mother Teresa as a bona fide saint. There is another individual whose work has been an inspiration to me from the time that I was a little boy, and especially when I was studying in seminary, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Dr. King was the champion of the cause of civil rights for all people and was known throughout the world. You probably know a lot about this amazing man. At the age of 35, Martin Luther King, Jr. was the youngest man to have ever received the Nobel Peace Prize. When notified of his selection, Dr. King announced that he would turn over the prize money of $54,000 to the furtherance of the civil rights movement. King had a march on Washington, D.C. that drew over 250,000 people. And when he climbed the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, it was there that he delivered his famous address, "I Have a Dream." That speech was one of the most amazing sermons I have ever heard. In fact, I used the videotape of that speech to train park rangers for almost 10 years in the art of bringing passion and personal authenticity into public speaking. Dr. King is someone I would emulate. MLK sacrificed his life for his ministry to all people, and he was assassinated on April 4, 1968. Dr. King was an inspiration and a role model for me. If I had time, I was going to read you a quote from one of his books, but I'll forego that today. But I would strongly recommend to read the work of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. The third person from my past is a woman who I loved and admired my whole life. I told Jane this was going to happen. And that's my mother, Miriam Lemp Morris. Mem Morris was amazing. I have a strong memory of sitting in an outdoor amphitheater that sat on the edge of the Scioto River in downtown Columbus, Ohio. The year was 1968, and it was just a few short months after the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. And these two events were not unconnected. I was 10 years old. I remember sitting in the upper rows of this outdoor amphitheater, looking down on a stage that had a large African-American choir singing in the background. Up on the front of that stage, in the distance from where I sat, stood three figures holding hands and singing along with the hymn that the choir was singing. One of these people, the first one, was a black Baptist preacher. One was a white male Jewish rabbi. And one was a white Roman Catholic woman from Germany who had no seminary training. My mom. These three people had just finished leading a worship service that spanned their three faiths and brought people together as a community of God. You see, It was my mother's dream that these people, all people who believed in God, should break down the barriers that separated them and work to become united in the service to God. My mother went against the Roman Catholic Church as a woman and as a layperson to stand with Jewish people, with African Americans, and with Protestants in solidarity and commitment to the ideals of loving as God loves and serving God's people as Jesus served. Most people in 1968 had no idea of what ecumenism or interfaith dialogue was all about. But my mom was living that ideal. She sacrificed her time and her money and her standing in the Roman Catholic tradition in order to follow her dream. And she was a saint to me. These three individual lives were lived in the model of Jesus Christ. These three saints touched my life and helped make me who I am today and who I am becoming. And I know that there are people who are saints for you. I know that there are a whole host of people who have touched your lives and who have made a big difference in who you are today. I hope that you will remember them today as we worship God and as we come together as children of God to celebrate Holy Communion. I'm similar to Sylvia. As I think about Burns Memorial United Methodist Church, I know that I have seen saintly behavior in the living, and I have known people who have gone to their heavenly rest. On a nearly daily basis, I watch you, amazed at how ready and eager you are to sacrifice your time, your talents, and to give your hard-earned money in order to support the ministries of our congregation. Let us learn from Jesus Christ, and let us learn from those who have gone before us. God is love. Jesus Christ loves all people. Let us share the good news. Amen.